The Bible says, through many trials and tribulations, we will make it into the kingdom. The things we have on earth, cars and houses, don't mean a thing. What you need to guard is your salvation, because it's the most important thing that you would ever be given.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, so we will continue with our series of lessons that we began last week about the 12 revelations for supernatural living. 12 revelations for supernatural what? Living. Please say that with me. 12 revelations for supernatural living. Let's try and review a little bit what we talked about in our last lesson. All right, we're going to fully understand, and we talked about the fact that a supernatural lifestyle is a life that is often lived above what? Average. With the often interventions of God. It's supernatural because God is pretty much always part of your life. We did learn from our last lesson that prosperity, one of the revelations we began to talk about was the revelation of prosperity in salvation. Let's all say that together. Revelation on prosperity in salvation. Now, there are two extremes. There are those who believe in poverty. There are those who believe in prosperity. But there ought to be a balance, and we want to gain a revelation on that truth. Amen? And in our last lesson, we understood that the word prosperity simply means to do well, to be successful. Who doesn't want to do well in life? So those who say prosperity is bad, the definition tells you it's not a bad thing. It's just that it's being mischaracterized in this generation. And we want to take time to understand it. So doing well, becoming successful, but it is not only in the area of finances. It's in your health, your spiritual walk, in most areas of your Christian walk. Amen? And we understood, secondly, that God wants us to prosper. Let's all say that together. Okay, now personalize it. Take the us and say me. God wants me to prosper. Let's say it all that together. All right. And we understood that prosperity is not an addition to salvation, but it is covered. It is your covenant right. It is covered in salvation. You all remember that? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. The scripture says that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us what? All things with him, not without him, with him, with Jesus. You know, there are people who would die and go to heaven and never enjoy any good thing here on earth because they want Jesus, nothing else. And then there are those who are on the other side of the spectrum. They want everything else here without Jesus, but you can have Jesus with everything else. Are you here with me today? And so we understood that truth, that God wants us to prosper. He wants to give us all things. And since we are continuing to gain revelation on it, today will be revelation on prosperity and salvation, part two. We are still pursuing, we are trying to gain a proper understanding of what the Word of God teaches. Amen. Today, I will challenge you about certain basic truths that most believers are overlooking. And I want you to go with me as we search the Word of God together so that we will know God's truth. Now, we're going to begin with a question. And the question is this. If God wants us to prosper, why are so many believers not prosperous? If God wants me to prosper. If God wants you to prosper, if God wants you to do well, he wants you to be successful, why are so many Christians, so many believers not prosperous? Now, this is a very popular question. I have asked it in this sense, but later on as I teach, you will notice that this is a wrong question. The right question should be, if God wants us to prosper, in what ways? In what ways? Because this question assumes several things, and I want to look at it and strike it down before we get into today's lesson. Are you ready to go on the journey with me? All right. Now, first of all, you must understand that there are people who claim that most people are not prosperous simply because they are not working hard enough. They are not diligent. And it is true. But it is true only in the sense that you are looking at prosperity in terms of finances. It is also true if you are looking at it in terms of your health. Have you realized that you can eat good, do all the exercises, but still you're sick? It does not negate the idea that you should do the right things, right? But what I'm saying is that there are some who have made the right choices, but they are still sick. So then, I do believe that as much as it is important for us to understand that many people are not prospering in some areas of their life because they are not hardworking and they are not diligent, it is not the actual reason. The book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, the lazy hands will come to poverty. All right? So if you are looking at prosperity in that sense alone, then it is true. However, we have understood from last week's lesson that prosperity moves beyond money. Amen. What was the greatest thing when we talk about prosperity that has already happened in your life? What is it? Let me see how many of you still remember. It's your salvation. Right? It was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And what is the value of Jesus? What is Jesus' net worth? It's priceless. So be careful that when you have not had some money on earth, you begin to say, I am not prosperous. You are already prosperous because you have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, already as Lord in your life. Are you hearing me today? The second thing I find out is that those who ask this question that if God wants us to be prosperous, then how in the world are we not prospering? And most of the time, their answer is that it is because we are not exercising enough faith. Could that be true? Yes. Because if you release your faith in certain areas, you would receive results. But is that always true? I beg to differ. Now, if you are sick and you pray and you release your faith and you are not healed, does that mean that you were not acting in faith? Because the chips are in God's hands. The Bible says, can the clay ask the potter, why are you making me into this? Whenever we talk about prosperity, today we will come to understand it, that God owns the world and he owns you. And because of that, it changes the dynamics. Amen. So faith, not putting in faith, is a basis sometimes for us not to receive certain aspects of things in our spiritual walk, but that is not completely true. Let me show you. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, please write it down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 24 to verse 28, we read about a guy. His name is called Epaphroditus. This guy was sick. He was very good at what he did. And when he was sick, the scripture says he prayed and God showed him mercy and healed him. So it sounds like prosperity, based on the modern definitions, is working in Epaphroditus' life. Do you agree? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, that's the second person we're talking about. So number one was Epaphroditus, who was sick, prayed, and God stepped in. The second one is a pastor, Timothy, young Timothy. He was a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, the scripture says, Paul is advising Timothy, and then he said these things to them. Timothy, because of your often stomach problems, take a little bit of wine. Let's leave the wine alone. Focus on the idea that he says, your frequent illness. Frequent illness. How can a prosperous person like this pastor have frequent illness? So whenever we are defining prosperity, we need to be careful what we are saying. Can you say Timothy was not prosperous? Would you be able to say that? But he had frequent what? Illness. So the argument then is that it's not so much about if I'm able to release my faith. Sometimes when we release our faith, we receive. But sometimes we release our faith and God might say it's not the time. Now, there's another group of people. This time it's not Timothy and Epaphroditus, but it's a wide range of people. And I want us to read that one. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. From verses 32, we will read all the way to verse 39. And I'll read this from the Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. If God wants me to prosper, how come I am not prospering? It is possible that I am not prospering because I am not diligent or hardworking enough. It is possible, but it is not entirely true. It is also possible that because I am not releasing my faith, but it is not completely true. I'll come to what is really the issue. All right, are you in the book of Hebrews chapter 11? Let's look at verse 32 to verse 39. Now, let me give you a little background. In Hebrews chapter 11, they're talking about people who lived and acted in faith. So we call it the hall of faith. The heroes and the sheroes of faith. People who lived and walked in faith. All right? Now, the writer now gets to verse 32. Let's pick up the reading. It said, and what shall I say further? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouth of lions. Does this sound like prosperity to you? Yeah. Extinguished the power of raging fire, escape the violence of the sword, out of frailty and weakness won strength, and became stalwart, even mighty and restless in battle, routing alien hosts. Some women receive again their dead by resurrection. Come on, that sounds like prosperity, right? Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept relief. What kind of faith is that? If faith alone brings prosperity, here are people who are stretching their faith to see God and they are refusing to be let loose. So, I can clearly understand that my faith is capable of helping me to bring a level of prosperity in my life, but it is not completely true that because I don't have faith and have not released faith, that is not why I am not prosperous. Let's continue. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. That sounds like prosperity to you? Is it? Come on, let's be honest. Is this? People who were chained. Verse 37. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers. They were sawn asunder. If you found today that someone was stretched and two people with that long saw stood there and then they cut them into two with a saw, would you call that prosperity? Are they doing well? They were slaughtered by the sword. They had to go about wrapped in skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated.
whom the world was not worthy of, roaming over the desolate places and the mountains and the caves and the caverns and the holes of the earth. In other words, the scripture says, these people did not even find proper clothing to wear. Does that sound like they were financially doing well? Were they financially doing well? They were living in holes. They did not have a house to live in. But I want you all to look at verse 39. Shall we? Ready? Read. And all of these, pause. Who? The ones who were sown asunder. The ones who were living in holes and cages. The ones who did not have clothing. The people who the world was not worthy of them. He says, all of these, and all of these, though they gained divine approval through their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. I wanted to bring a balance to prosperity. That is still prosperity. They have not received the promise that about things that we need in the earthly realm. However, they have attained unto the things that God wanted them to attain to. What I want you to understand is that stop running around and making it sound like because you couldn't pay a bill, you are not prosperous. Because people who were sown asunder, they did not have a place to live. They struggled. There are things. But then their faith in God was intact. God says they obtained divine approval. So real prosperity is gaining divine. Now you're talking to me. Let us not limit prosperity to the fact that maybe I got a Rolls Royce and have a jet and I have a house. No, no, no. They are earthly blessings because the scripture says these words, and Jesus spoke them. What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world and he loses his own soul? When there is no divine approval, everything else you gain on earth means nothing. So let us begin to put prosperity in its perspective. It is in salvation. Prosperity is in salvation. When I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, oh, glory be to God. It's the day when faith shall turn to sight and we shall see the King of glory coming down in the clouds, and there he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what we ought to seek for. Are you hearing me today? It does not also mean that money is bad. But what it simply means is that your pursuit in life ought not to be about that. So if God wants us to be prosperous, why are so many believers not prosperous? We can see from this it's not because they didn't have faith. Because even when they could have released their faith for something on earth, they chose to release their faith for the resurrection to come. Could faith not being released become a basis for which there are certain things we don't have? Yes. But is that completely true? The answer is no. But after laboring in prayer and seeking the face of God and watching other believers, I told you how I saw people who raised me up in the faith, they could stand and pray for hours, but they were poor. Then I could see ordinary people have money. And I used to wonder, Lord, what is the problem? Is it that when we walk with you, we become poor? Then I realized that Abraham was not poor. Isaac was a guy, the scripture says, the people around him, he became prosperous. And I like the superlatives that I use in the King James language. He said, and the man waxed strong and became prosperous to the point that the people around him envied him. So how is it that some are having it and others are not having it? What is the link? Is it the faith? Is it the hard work? What exactly is it? Have you understand our journey so far? So today's lesson is about this. I personally believe, after much crying and tears in God's presence, I understood that God created this world perfect. And in that perfect world, he wants you to have
all these things. But in a fallen world like ours, there are some things we will not be able to have them. Not because he doesn't want to give it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it was Jesus who said these words, "If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father not give you the good things?" God is willing to give them, but we live in a fallen world. But Jesus died on the cross, Pastor. Yes, he did. And by his stripes we are healed. Why is Timothy constantly ill? He's a pastor. Why couldn't Paul say, "Timothy, just cast out that demon and let it go"? But he gives him the Pepto-Bismol of that day. He said, "Take that instead." Let us be careful when we are jumping at things because they sound right and they feel good. Balance the scriptures and know what God is saying. The Bible says, through many trials and tribulations, we will make it into the kingdom. The things we have on earth, cars and houses, don't mean a thing. What you need to guard is your salvation, because it's the most important thing that you would ever be given. Are you hearing me today? So after crying to God, I came to this understanding that it is because we misunderstand kingdom prosperity. We misunderstand it. The reason for which many believers are not prosperous is because we have a misunderstanding of what kingdom prosperity is all about. Pastor, what do you mean? Because you will never be able to appropriate something you do not understand. If you don't know that there are certain benefits on the law books, how are you going to take advantage of it? By asking the lawyer to help you. So today I want to walk you through the Word of God, and it is what Jesus taught. Very simple. From Matthew chapter 6, we're going to learn. Jesus teaches us about kingdom prosperity, how we should look at it. Is it okay to have cars? Yes. Should you go after some of the cars? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 tells you those who go after wealth will fall into diverse temptations. If you are willing to be able to overcome diverse temptations, go for it. This is where the work and the help of the Holy Spirit is important. Amen. So are you ready to gain a kingdom understanding? Yes, all right. Let us begin, first of all, by understanding this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Every Christian who is truly born again belongs to the kingdom of God. Every Christian. Let's all say that. Who is truly born again belongs to the kingdom of God. All right, guys, listen to me. In this world, there are two kingdoms. You belong to one of them. There is no middle place. You either belong to the kingdom of darkness or you belong to the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Let's read it from the Christian Standard Bible. He said, "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred us. He has translated us. In other words, we have now been set into a new kingdom. Everybody say, "I am a member of the kingdom of God." Now, if we will understand prosperity in its right way, you must always look at it as kingdom prosperity and not republic prosperity. We live here in America in a republic. A republic is governed through the concepts of democracy. The masses vote and the masses win. In a kingdom, the king speaks, his word becomes law, and what he says is what goes. Everybody else is a subject. Problem is, we live in a democracy. We live in a republic. So sometimes we are tempted to bring the concepts of democracy into the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is about God who is a king. It is about us who are the king's kids. And it is about the king's laws, which is in the Bible. So we want to gain some understanding. Are you ready to gain the understanding? The first understanding I want you to have today is that a kingdom is a country. A kingdom is a... A kingdom is... How many of you believe it's a country?
Because sometimes we make it sound like it is a concept. No, it is a country. It is a country here on earth. No, it is a country up in the heavens. So sometimes you hear the Bible say the kingdom of what? Heaven. Now, somebody, but Pastor, are you sure? How many of you remember when Jesus was having a conversation with Nico? You know Brother Nico? Nicodemus, right? And Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man is born again, or born a second time, he cannot become part of the kingdom of God. Most of the time, we tend to think that Nicodemus did not understand Jesus. That's not true. The guy really understood Jesus. Because his question was pointed to the fact that he knew Jesus was talking about a country. He said, Jesus, how can a big guy like me enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus is saying, all right, Nico, the same way through natural birth, you become a citizen of that country. If you will be born into the kingdom of God, you must also be born, but not the natural birth, but a spiritual birth, which is called the second birth, or popularly known as born again. Are you with me? So, I must always recognize that I belong to a country. Jesus, when he was praying for the disciples, said these words. He says, Father, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. In other words, we live in this country, but we are not naturally from here. Naturalization is a man-made concept. God is saying the only way you become part of my kingdom is that you must be born, the natural way of becoming part of it. And this is being born through the Holy Spirit. So the idea that people will run around and say, this whole Holy Spirit thing is a sham, it's a sham. Really? Because if you are not born by the Spirit, you are not part of the kingdom. You can't naturalize into the kingdom of God. It's human concept. That's why I keep telling you, kingdoms are not the same as republics. So be careful. So I want you to put it into your head from today. Whenever you walk, wherever you go, when you are showing your patriotism, it's okay. Remember, your first patriotic act is to the kingdom of God. Because that's where you are originally from. Amen. Did you understand that clearly? Okay, now, let's do some politics. All citizens look to their government to feed them. Do you agree? One person said, yes. We look to the government to create jobs. What is the purpose of the job? So you can eat. We look to the government to give us clean water. We look to the government to give us security. So we have the army and the air force and all that, so they can ensure that. All citizens look to their government, and the Christian must look to the heavenly government also for those things. But the way he does it is not through the republic concept. He does it through a kingdom concept. So the politicians come around and they promise you jobs. We're going to create jobs in the neighborhood for you. Why do they promise those things? Because they know that is what all humans need, including them. And we vote over and over until we find the right one. If you voted for Biden and you didn't like him, I'm sure you are making up your mind. In the next 4 years, you're going to vote differently, right? And if you didn't vote for him and you felt he's better, you are thinking, oh, this time I'm going to do it. Because it is human desire that we want to belong to a country. We want to belong to a government, and the government is providing food, shelter, and security and all that for us. It's human nature. So when we even come to serve God, do you realize we serve God for those things?
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.